So this was something that made Arjuna tremble. Something, he was very soft-hearted. Arjuna was a wonderful devotee, is a wonderful devotee. We've heard some of his arguments, how can I kill them? They're worthy of my worship, right? And Krishna says, but this is Krishna's answer. He says, this is weak, petty weakness of heart. So you'd say, you know, if somebody said you have to kill this person, and we said, oh, but they're so nice, it's my grandfather. And they say, oh, it's just, you know. So this is very, this is the Kshatriya Dharma, actually. It's, even if it's your own son. And there are cases in Mahabharata where Arjuna, he was fighting one of his sons. I don't remember which one, though. But he went out. It was the Rajasuya Yagya. He was getting tribute. So he had to either defeat them or what were the two things? He had to defeat them. Either that they would surrender voluntarily or he had to defeat them in battle. So he was going around all of the kings. Because Yudhishthira, they were going to install Yudhishthira as the emperor of the world. You remember the story? Are you doing for this day? Okay. But Yudhishthira, in order to be crowned the emperor, it's his right. He's supposed to be the emperor. But in order to prove it, you have to defeat all of the other kings. Because you can't have two emperors. And you can't have two, you can't have them, you know, vying for power. It has to be under one ruler. So Arjuna went out, and one of the Kshatriyas that he was fighting was his own son. One of his sons. And they had a... Actually, Arjuna was killed in... Ostensibly, he was actually killed in the battle. There was some curse that he had to... Because during the battle, something like... Anyway, there was some complicated reason for it. But his son actually killed him. They brought him back to life. Anyways, I apologize. I don't remember the details of the story. But it was pretty far out. They were serious. They were not messing around. They were really going for it, you know. So this is Kshatriya. Even if it's a family relative, anybody, it's their duty. They have to do it. And that's the thing about kings. Sometimes you have a difficult situation. What if your son becomes a murderer? You know, he's like, you're the king. Your eldest son becomes a murderer. What are you going to do? You're going to install him as the king? Right? No. He should be killed. You know, at least install somebody else. Somebody else should be the next king. So, in order to protect, because the Kshatriya means to protect. So, in order to protect the citizens, in order to protect Dharma, in order to make sure everybody's going to go back to Godhead, sometimes they had to do very difficult things, even if it means killing your own son. Krishna's amazed that Arjuna is behaving like this. Everybody, they brought 60-odd million people together. They bring all of millions and millions of people together. They're just about ready to fight, and just as the battle's about to begin, Arjuna says, "I can't do it." So Krishna just looks at him and is like, "What are you talking about? We've been waiting. You know, they were in exile. They've tried to kill you. They've done all kinds of horrible things. They insulted your wife." And now you say you're not going to fight? So Krishna's really... I mean, he's God. He knows he's going to do it. But he's like, what are you doing? And Krishna, he mentions this thing about Arjuna's heritage. Arjuna is the son of Pritha, who's Vasudeva's sister. And he's also the son of Indra, the king of heaven. Indra's a powerful person. He's king of the demigods. So Krishna is actually, he gives him several slaps through the Bhagavad Gita. There's one later, he says, even though you're speaking so many learned words, you're speaking like a man, you're speaking like a foolish person. Even though you sound intelligent, you sound like a fool, you're actually a fool. There's another one, whack. So he's trying to wake him up. He said, what happened? What happened to you? Because Krishna knows Arjuna. Actually, Arjuna's the... there are many very wonderful fighters, but Arjuna is considered the best fighter who's there. Arjuna's formidable. He fought with Lord Shiva. He fights Lord Shiva, he fights Indra, he defeats them. Defeats his father, which is something. And You know, he's really, he can fight, you know, if you're right-handed, you shoot an arrow like this, right? The arrow's in this hand and you hold the bow with your left hand. Arjuna's ambidextrous, he can swap it over. You know, he just stands like this. Most people have to go all the way around, right? If you want to, if you ever want to shoot over there, you have to turn your whole body. He just does this. You know? He's brilliant. And then he says right at the beginning of the battle, I can't do it. Unbelievable. Really unbelievable. So, of course, there's a reason for it. Krishna wants to speak the Bhagavad Gita. It's a very dramatic moment. It's a perfect time. Everybody's tuned in, right? So it's actually a setup in one. Arjuna's been set up in one sense, but at the same time, you know, he's sincere about it. He doesn't want to fight. So that's interesting. And we also have this problem sometimes. Give it a time. It's a little bit off track, but it reminds me of one. This one verse, and let me get it right. Oh yeah, there's a verse, but a verse, you could say, by Chanakya Pandit. He's a politician, he's quite famous. In India he's very famous, he's considered like a guru. So his aphorisms are very respected, and Prabhupada also, Prabhupada didn't take everything from Chanakya Pandit, but he would pick a few things. So one time, actually, it was Shivaram Swami, he's my spiritual master. I was listening to his podcast, and somebody asked a question. And the question was, how do you explain this thing from Chanakya Pandit, where it says that you can't trust a woman or a politician? So modern day and age, men and women are the same, so how do we understand, you know, this is the modern understanding then. And I really liked the answer that Shivaram Swami gave. It was really clever. And he said, well, trust is a difficult word because it's a translation, you know, it's okay. It's not, I mean, it's, you know, Prabhupada was quoting it. But he said, in order to understand this, something that might help is not to say trust, but to use the word predict. Right? Now, this isn't, it's not a criticism of Prabhupada, it's a way of understanding it. So, Shiva Ramaraj would never go against Prabhupada. But so predict. So you can't predict what they're going to do. I thought it was quite clever. It's a way of, you know, also getting out of the problem. So so you've got somebody, could be anybody, but you've got a lady who's going along a particular path, and she's been doing it for years, and she's very predictable, right? She always does her service, she always takes care of the kids, she's, you know, goes shopping, cooking, right? She's doing all that. She falls in love. She's gone, man. You know, she just takes off with some guy and disappears. So you're like, what happened? Totally empty. So you can't, like. So he said, in ladies, they can be bewildered by their emotions. So their intelligence is strong. When their intelligence is strong, they're fine. They're going along. They're doing what they should do. But all of a sudden, their emotions catch them, and vroom, you know, and they're just like, they do a U-turn. They just go backwards. So that's like. It's really hard. So if you can't predict it, you can't trust them. It's difficult, right? Then he said, which was interesting, he said, yeah, but in Kali Yuga, it's the same with men. I mean, this isn't just a balance. Just create balance. We're on the air, so we should. It's the same with men. But the thing is, with men, they don't get bewildered by their emotions. They get bewildered by their senses, right? So they're going on the same thing. They're going along a particular path. They're completely fixed. Suddenly, some pretty girl goes past. Same problem, but different reason. They just disappear because their senses get the better of them. So, anyway, just reminds me. So Arjuna, it's a similar in some way. You could compare them in some ways. Arjuna is a kshatriya. He's a fighter. He's going on along a particular path. Really solid person. All of a sudden, something happens, and he just loses it. And he just can't, it's because this is a serious situation. It's not like us, we just, you know, see a boy or girl walking past, we fall in love and we're lost. You know, he wasn't like that. It's not quite the same. Arjuna's more made of stronger stuff than we are. But it's a similar principle. So Arjuna, Krishna was very surprised. What happened to you? anyway, like that. And so I went through the Bhagavad Gita and I looked up all the places where Krishna mentions fight and fighting. Because he's trying to convince Arjuna, right? And there's different reasons for Bhagavad Gita, but the, you could say the surface reason for the Bhagavad Gita is to get Arjuna to fight. That's number one on the list of things to do today when Krishna was speaking to Arjuna, is, you know, we've got a battle. We better get on with it. And Arjuna's just like, he's dropped his bow, he's crying, you know, nothing's happening. So throughout the Bhagavad Gita, it's very interesting actually, I was going through, and throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna repeats this, he repeats this instruction. And this, but it's interesting, Arjuna doesn't surrender until 1873, which is right at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. He doesn't, he's asking questions and this and that, but he doesn't say, okay, you're, you know, I'll do it, right until the end. So so Krishna repeats it, and Krishna, right at the beginning, and Arjuna continues arguing, because Krishna says one or two things, and then Arjuna continues to argue at the beginning of the second chapter. We haven't finished with Arjuna yet. He's going to come up with some more, please, I don't want to do it, type things. So four more times in the second chapter, Krishna says, fight. And the first time is 2:18. He says, you know, the material body is destructible, so you might as well fight. Basically, the soul is eternal, the body's destructible, so what's the point? They're going to die today or tomorrow, you might as well fight. Right? The result is the same. Yeah, you're worried, you want to save their body, but they're going to die anyway. Right? So, you know, just got rid of that. So, 2:31, he says it's the duty of the Kshatriyas. There's no better engagement than fighting for a Kshatriya. It's their, like, you know, it's their World Cup. It's like, you know, they're on. Finally! You know, finally! I mean, it's what they train for, it's what they live for, they grow into it, they're, you know, they're built for it. That's what they do. You know, they're fighters. So finally you get the opportunity of being in a just war. And there's a section where Krishna talks about the duty of the Kshatriyas in the second chapter. And because Arjuna says, if I fight, I'll get sin. Krishna says, no, if you fight, you can't lose. Right? You'll either conquer and enjoy the earthly kingdom, or you'll go to heaven, because that's one of the results of fighting. If a Kshatriya is engaged in a war, and it's a righteous war, then he'll go to heaven. Even Duryodhan went to heaven. Not a big deal. You know, it's not difficult. And this, you could say it was because Krishna was on the battlefield. But he, you know, any Kshatriya who's involved in a righteous fight, even if he's on the wrong side, he goes to heaven. Right? It's not a bad deal. You win both ways. So you gamble, you know. This isn't gambling. No, gambling, you may lose. In fact, you do lose. But this isn't a gamble. This is guaranteed satisfaction if you fight. But then Krishna, he goes on to, not just that you fight, because, you know, there's so many people fighting, but how to fight, or what's the, actually he goes, Bhagavad Gita is really about the purpose of life. So he says, what kind of fighting? First of all, 2:38, he says you should fight with detachment, right? Without considering happiness, distress, loss, gain, profit, just free of all of these things, fight. So it doesn't matter. He says it's the same. Whether you win or lose, it's the same. But that's how you should feel. It doesn't matter to you. And then in 3:30, he talks about surrender. Actually, he says, actually, you should surrender to me. You should surrender your work to me. And so this is more to do with that's 3:30. Fight with devotion. So he says, surrender all your works to me, with full knowledge of me, without desire for profit, free from lethargy, fight. So he's getting to the point now, not just you do your duty, but you do it for me. And so Krishna's getting to bhakti. Bhakti is in the middle six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. He talks about bhakti. And then there's this beautiful verse at the end of chapter 4:42. Krishna says, the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, stand and fight. Wow. That's one of the verses I'll write on my wall, big letters. You know, I just put that on. It's just fabulous. Because Arjuna is saying, I want to go to, he says, I want to go to the forest. I want to, it'd be better if I was a beggar. You know? So he's showing some desire to be a renunciate. And Krishna says, no, you renounce by fighting. So armed with yoga, stand and fight. Right? So forget about the forest. You know, that's not your yoga. That's not your... So it's a very nice... And the weapon of knowledge. So we also can... if we have some things in the heart that need to be cut out, to be removed, you know, surgery, then one of the important things is actually to read Srila Prabhupada's books, because there's so much information in Prabhupada's books. Actually, it's one of the things that upset Prabhupada that we didn't read. He said, these aren't just for giving away, you know. Like, have you ever stood on the street and you say, you try and sell someone a book and they say what's in it and you don't know? Have you ever done that? I just feel like an idiot. I haven't read it. It's really good, though. I mean, what, you know, we should know these books inside out. And then we can say, yeah, it's really good, and then quote something, or, you know. How can we say it's a good book if we don't know what's in it? Anyway, then just become a salesman, or just a transcendental salesman. Then 8:7, actually, this is a nice verse that sometimes devotees ask, well, I've got my service and I'm very absorbed in my service, but then I should be thinking about Krishna. So which should I do? Should I chant my japa or should I do my service? Because it's very difficult to think about Krishna when you're, right? Driving a truck, you know, doing so many things, right? And Krishna says, actually do both. He says, while you're fighting, then you should think about me. So while we're doing, this is Krishna's answer. So while we're going about doing our services, whether it's bookkeeping or sankirtan or cleaning the temple or whatever, giving, you know, I mean, what else could there be? We do so many things, writing or so many things that devotees do. We should be thinking about Krishna. Now how we do that, that's, you know, there are many ways of achieving that goal. And in the 10th chapter, Krishna talks, actually he talks about nature a lot, and he talks about exemplars. You know that journey? He says, of fishes I am the shark, of mountains I am Meru, of immovable objects I am the Himalayas. Of, you know, that he goes through. There's many, many, many things he gives. You know, I'm the light of the sun or the moon, like this. Bodies of water, I'm the ocean. So you can just walk around and think about Krishna. Like yesterday, there was the sun and the moon were in the sky at the same time. It's very pretty. It's nice when it happens. But you need a soft sun and a bright moon. And then you can, sometimes the moon's there and you can't see it because the sun's too bright. But yesterday there was the moon and there was the sun. And these are the two eyes of Krishna. And it's a little off point, but there's a very, very nice verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita which says, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda. To benedict everyone with Krishna consciousness. So, you know, so if we know that verse, and it's very poetic, so I happen to know it. I don't know many verses. So I looked up and I saw the moon and I saw the sun. I thought, wow, it's like Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. That's cool. So I guess Lord Chaitanya is the sun because it's golden, and Lord Nityananda is the moon because he's whitish. So this is how, you know, I'm just walking across the property and we can think about Krishna. We're very lucky in Radhadesh because there's so much nature. It's very, very. It's very, very nice. Then, in the 11th chapter, Krishna, he's trying to incite Arjuna's pride in one sense. You know, you're Kshatriya, you should fight. Don't be petty. Don't be impotent. But in the 11th chapter, Krishna says, actually, they're already dead. I've killed them, and all you're going to do is be an instrument. In other words, it doesn't matter whether you fight or not. The outcome of the battle is already decided. They're going to lose, you're going to win. Or, whether you fight. The Pandavas will win, they're going to lose, end of story. Now, if you want, you can take the credit, and otherwise you can go, but we'll do it anyway without you. That's not a problem. So that's another argument. Krishna, he just, or at least another explanation Krishna gives. Then he does something very interesting in the 18th chapter. He's talking about the qualities of the different varnas. And this really caught my eye, actually. I thought this was far out. Because remember, when reading Bhagavad Gita, there's different ways of reading scripture, right? So one of them is remembering what Krishna's trying to do. So one of the things Krishna's trying to do is convince Arjuna to fight, right? And that's because that was the focus, because it's the verse for today. So that was my focus when I was looking at it. So he starts off by saying, you know, he talks about the four varnas, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras. He says they are distinguished by the qualities born of their own natures, in accordance with the material modes. And he again says, "O chastiser of the enemy." Right? That's interesting. Then he gives the qualities of a Brahmana. He says they're peaceful, they're self-controlled, they're austere, like that. But then he says the qualities of a Kshatriya are heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle. So he hasn't gone off on a tangent. He's not. Krishna's on the ball, right? He says, "You're a Kshatriya. You're a Kshatriya, and one of the qualities of a Kshatriya is courage in battle. So what are you doing?" You know. Anyway, we're getting towards the end of the Bhagavad Gita now. Then he talks about Vaishyas and Shudras. Then he does something very interesting. He says it's better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Duties prescribed according to one's own nature are never affected by sinful reaction. So Arjuna is saying, I don't want to do my duty. You know, because it's violent, I don't want to kill them, I want to leave and do someone else's duty. And Krishna says, no. He says, if you do your duty, even if there's some fault, it's better than doing someone else's duty. Isn't that interesting? I thought it was really interesting. I just noticed it before while I was coming to the class. Huh? What? What was interesting is that Krishna's still on this point of getting Arjuna to fight. He's talking about the four varnas, but it's pointed. It's not Krishna through the Bhagavad Gita. And they do this. There's the basic discussion that you can see, but there's subplot as well. And Gitamrita, if you've ever listen to Gitamrita. It's in the Gitamrita, Purnachandra Maharaj, he wove in some of the commentaries of the Acharyas. So Bhagavad Gita is not just spoken on this planet, it's spoken on many planets. Right? It's continuously going. And sometimes it's so beautiful, he says at the beginning, that great souls can hear these conversations and they've written them down for our benefit. So there's some. It's basically the same conversation, but there's some details in there as well that we don't hear in this Bhagavad Gita. And sometimes Arjuna asks extra questions and prompts Krishna. It's very interesting. It's very, very interesting. The commentaries of like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, or these great souls, that they know these extra details. So like this, Krishna is giving the four varnas, but he says courage in battle. So he's poking Arjuna. No, he's like looking like he's just giving a list, but actually he's poking him. He said, "Look, you're a Kshatriya. You should be courageous. You're crying. I mean, what's that?" So, and then he says, because Arjuna's defeating Arjuna's arguments throughout the Bhagavad Gita, and he does that right. He actually does it right till the end. This is where is it? It's 1843 where he talks about the qualities of a Kshatriya. So he's still, I guess he can see that Arjuna's giving in, but it's really great. Bhagavad Gita's brilliant because that right until the end, you're still waiting to find out whether Arjuna's actually got it. Because Arjuna, at no point does Arjuna say, "Okay, well, maybe you've got a point," or he doesn't do that anyway. He keeps asking questions. When Arjuna interrupts Krishna, he asks a question. So only 1873 actually Arjuna says okay, but Krishna says he says just before this, he says, "Have you heard this with an attentive mind? Are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled? Are you ready?" And everyone's like, because this is Sanjay. Sanjay is saying this to Dhritarashtra, right? Dhritarashtra is wondering, did Arjuna fight? Because if Arjuna dropped out, Dhritarashtra would even it up, right? would make it more even between the two fighters. So Dhritarashtra was very interested to find out if Arjuna was going to leave. But Arjuna says, "My dear Krishna, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and I'm prepared to act according to your instructions."
Haribo.
Yes. So yeah, he does it after this whole discussion. And Sanjay makes this comment, wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. So he tells Dhritarashtra right at the beginning of the battle, he says, there's victory. So it means it's lost. Krishna and Arjuna are together, they're unbeatable. And it doesn't matter you have Bhishma and Drona and all the Astras and Jayadrath and, you know, there's all these powerful fighters, it makes absolutely no difference. So for us, I'm running out of time. For us, we can take this as an impetus that we should also stand and fight. Because this is a battle with Maya. So we shouldn't give in to our own degrading impotence. We shouldn't give up. It's one of the tricks of Maya. She tries to discourage us. If we have a problem, something happens, and she'll start whispering in our ear, "Oh, you're pathetic, you're hopeless, you'll never make it. You might as well enjoy yourself. You know, why are you celibate? You know, you could have sex, you could have a girlfriend, a boyfriend. It'd be nice. You're not going to be a devotee anyway." Right? So she's nagging us. I mean, it's also our own, that's part of our weakness, right? So she's kind of like nagging us, trying to convince us to give up. But we should never give up. Because Krishna, wherever there is Arjuna, wherever there is Krishna, there is victory. And we can hang on to that. That's something I personally hang on to sometimes. And we can hang on to this, that Krishna's not going to let us down. And Arjuna's not going to let us down. He's also on our side. So, thank you very much. Anyway, it's hard to speak shortly on Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes I look at a verse and I think, what am I going to talk about? Anyway, you should give class. If you haven't given class, Prabhupada always encouraged people to give class. It's a wonderful way of studying. Because, especially with Vedabase. You know, you have an electronic, you can search the words, see where else Prabhupada said it, where else it is in the scriptures, and you get like 20 quotes, you can give a class like very quickly. It's not difficult to get material to give a class, and it's so inspiring. I'm inspired. I'm not by anybody else, but I love these verses where Krishna says, "Fight, don't give up, come on, you can do it." Like, I hear that and I think, oh, thank you, you know, I needed that today. So, thank you very much. If anyone has any comments or questions, Prabhu. Yes. Yeah, that's beautiful. Which verse is it? Oh, it's nice. Yeah, but we still don't know. Yeah, we still don't know if he's going to fight. Okay. Okay. Yeah, knowledge of the soul. I don't know. It's too. I'm a little confused by the disc. I don't have the. Yeah. Well, no. I mean, it's Arjuna says it. I totally accept as truth all you've told me. But just because we accept something's true, we may not be able to act on it. So I can say I totally agree with you, but I can't do it. I'm too weak. So he hasn't. I just like the drama. You know, the drama of the whole thing is wonderful. Because they keep, because the idea is that, part of the idea is that Krishna wants everyone to listen to what, you know, to the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So they keep them going, you know, is Arjuna going to fight or not? That's the cliffhanger. That's what they call it more like a movie than a book, but they call it a cliffhanger or a page turner in books, in writing. So the page turner is what's going to happen. Is he going to fight or not? And it's like, it just keeps you going, you know. Is he actually going to agree to do it or not? So at the end, he agrees to do it. But yeah, here it says that I accept what you tell me is truth. Yeah, Arjuna keeps asking questions. Yeah, he hasn't given in yet. Now, why Arjuna's doing that? You know, they have their own ecstatic and transcendental reasons for doing things. Maybe he's just enjoying it. He's enjoying hearing from Krishna, so he wants to hear more. Or he wants to be completely convinced, there's some places in Gita-amrita in the commentaries it says that Arjuna's convinced. He doesn't need, actually he's convinced right from the beginning, but he knows other people won't be, so he's not they're not ordinary people. No, Arjuna's he's not a thug, you know, he's a cultured person, he's very well educated. So Krishna can just say one or two things and he understands everything. But Arjuna knows that other people won't understand it. So he's making sure that it's really clear. You know, everything is very, very clear. It's laid out, crystal. So anyone should be able to read Bhagavad Gita and understand what Krishna means. And right at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion, right? And surrender unto me. And that's like the boiled down essence of Bhagavad Gita. I will deliver you from all sinful reactions, do not fear. So it just like sweeps away all the yoga and the karma and the jnana. So you say, just forget it. You know, just surrender to me, everything will be okay. Okay, we have some kirtaniers here. We should let them ply their craft. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Krishna, Krishna.